Greece and the faulty assumption that everybody has a credit card in an emergency. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There are reports this morning that Greece could make a new offer to creditors in hopes of getting a new two-year bailout deal. This according to the Wall Street Journal's sources. European officials were saying their doors were open to more talks. However, earlier today, senior Greek officials said their country will not be able to make its scheduled payment to the International Monetary Fund. Greece is now in uncharted territory, and residents are trying to manage with banks closed and money essentially not flowing to and from the outside world. The BBC's Lucy Burton is in Athens right now. Morning to you.
Morning, David. How are you doing?
Good. But what about the people of Athens? You're just back from a supermarket?
Absolutely. So, I mean, a very, very worrying week for people in Athens. People have started to stockpile food and petrol. So in the supermarket today, lots of people with their supermarket trolleys absolutely full through with lots of basics. So lots of rice, lots of pasta, lots of toilet roll and cleaning products and stuff like that. So I wouldn't say that there's panic yet, but there's definitely a huge amount of concern and a huge amount of worry.
And people can still use their credit cards to make those purchases?
Yeah, absolutely they can. Now, the one issue with this is that for many pensioners don't have credit cards or bank cards. So yesterday we saw these long queues of older people sitting out hoping that the banks might open, and many of them in the heat fainting. It was very tough to see actually. And so what the government has done is said that tomorrow about 1,000 banks across the country will be open to give pensioners a lump sum, so you know, the equivalent of 60 euros a day, so that they can continue to buy their food and medicine.
Now, there is a referendum now set for Sunday. Are negotiations on hold completely until that referendum?
No, they're not. I mean, they may not officially be on the table, but they'll certainly be happening in the back channels. And so we know that Jean-Claude Juncker, the president of the European Commission, is going to be holding a press conference later. Today he may come with some more practical proposals to try to fight to keep Greece within the EU.
Lucy Burton with our partner broadcaster, the BBC. She's in Athens today. Lucy, thank you.
Thank you very much, David.
At the stroke of midnight tonight, authorization is set to expire for America's Export-Import Bank, among other things. This is the government outfit that lends money to encourage American-made exports. Some Republicans who don't like government meddling in markets can't stand that bank. Supporters say it fills an important need for companies of many sizes. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson looks at what this deadline means.
When the clock turns 12, the EXIM Bank, as it's known, won't quite turn into a pumpkin, because it's funded through the end of September. But once its authorization expires tonight, it can continue its existing loans, but it can't make new ones. Representative Jim Jordan, a Republican from Ohio, thinks the bank amounts to corporate welfare and sees opportunity in tonight's expiration.
To restart this thing, it's one thing to reauthorize it. That's happened, I think, like 16 different times in the 80-year history of this bank. It's another thing to restart it once it's already expired.
But the bank's proponents say even the uncertainty leading up to tonight's lapse has already hurt American businesses. Miriam Shapiro is with the consulting firm Summit Strategies and a former deputy U.S. trade representative.
The winner here is China and other countries that are going full steam ahead with their own export credit agencies and taking advantage of the opportunity to see EXIM lapse.
Shapiro's hoping Congress will reauthorize the bank after the July 4th holiday. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
There's news. London-based insurance broker Willis Group will merge with human resources and financial services company Towers Watson to form a conglomerate worth $18 billion. No, wait, it gets more interesting than that. The merged company will be called Willis Towers Watson. In 3 hours, Apple's new music streaming service launches, free for 3 months, $11 a month after that, or $15 for up to a family of six. The software updates required for phones, tablets, and computers are supposed to be ready later this morning. Spotify, Pandora, and others have already been streaming away, so this is something less than an innovation. Ben Johnson, host of our sibling program, Marketplace Tech, is here with context. Good morning, Ben.
Hi, David.
So we know that Apple is an intergalactically huge player, but they're entering this streaming market, I think it's fair to say late.
Yes, you could even say dead last, David. Apple used to pride itself in being first. Now the company seems to pride itself on being best. If you look at the number of people streaming music right now, it's relatively small. Big streaming companies like Spotify and Pandora, they have 60, 80 million users. But Apple is at another level. I talked to Alex White. He's the CEO of a streaming data company that is owned by Pandora but works now with Apple and Spotify and others.
It's only big companies like Apple's entrance that can really take this to the masses. And when that's the conversation, I think it's a very exciting thing for everyone because it's not a question of what's streaming and how is Spotify different than iTunes. And we have an opportunity to get the music business bigger than it's ever been from a revenue perspective.
All right. So it's not chopped liver that so many people are part of the Apple ecosystem, iOS and OS X. But what do we know about how people actually use these streaming music services?
What's really interesting, David, is that the vast majority of users, they all listen to the same stuff over and over. So you have this the entire catalog of human music at your fingertips. And if you're the average user, you're still listening to Taylor Swift and Led Zeppelin. And this idea of discovery and unlimited choice, the data actually suggests it doesn't change the user's habits.
Human beings are so disappointing sometimes. Now, Ben, what do you stream too often while we're talking about?
Oh, man. I go back to Siamese Dream, seventh grade, Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. I know what I need to hear again. Radiohead. I pick it like every other time. Now, more importantly, what does all this say about the direction of the digital music business, though?
Downloads dropped 8% last year, while streaming revenue is actually up 39% last year. So what we don't know yet is whether or not streaming will make artists and labels enough money, especially when we're talking about smaller artists and smaller labels.
Marketplace tech host Ben Johnson, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And you thought it was Ben Johnson, 17th century playwright, poet, and critic, second only to Shakespeare. Just to clarify, in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.